This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, GoodRx for Pets and planning an introduction for new fur kids into your family. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CattreeTray.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, is here with us this week for our pet tip of the week. And Monica, I have heard about GoodRx for humans and have used it, and I'm very familiar with it, but I just recently learned that there's GoodRx for pets. Can you tell us anything about this?
So a lot of people do not realize that GoodRx is available for their pets' medications. When you go online, you can go to goodrx.com/pets. They have a whole listing of, you know, different medications and things like that your pets are commonly on. Pain medications, seizure medications, pet diabetes, insulins, anxiety meds, even things as common as your heartworm preventions, your flea and tick. It all can be used with GoodRx. So, of course, you know, anybody that's used GoodRx before, maybe if you haven't, just a little bit about it. It's an app and you can go into there and you create an account. It's totally free and you put in your location and it'll come up with a listing of pharmacies that are in your area. And you can type in any medications you're on and it's going to give you a list of what the discounted GoodRx cost is. And generally you go in to, you know, pick up your medication. You say, hey, I'm using GoodRx. This is my number. And they give it to you at that discounted price. You know, some insurances cover things, some do not, or people who do not have prescription drug insurance, it comes in really handy. And a lot of people, you know, like for me, some of them, you know, my insurance does a way better job covering, but there's some that they don't cover much of and that, you know, you occasionally find GoodRx is even cheaper than what you would have gotten it from your insurance company. You know, definitely getting on there and checking your meds is always great to do. But when it comes to your pet's medications, a lot of times, you know, people don't realize that you don't necessarily always have to buy them from a veterinarian, but you also don't have to buy them from some random online, you know, company. They've had so many things over the years and it's hard to know. And there's, you know, many good ones, but then there's some that, you know, aren't so good. There's some that, you know, you hear about all the time in the news that they're, you know, got lawsuits pending or they're packaging old, you know, dated material and reselling it. So it's just, unless you know it's a reputable site and you kind of, you know, should be doing your homework to make sure you're buying from one. If you don't want to go through all that hassle, a lot of the medications that your pet is on is now becoming more and more available at other locations. I mean, Walmarts and CVS and Walgreens and Publixes and a lot of places starting to carry pet meds as well. For me, I kind of like the convenience of picking up everything all at once. And a lot of our pets' medications, you know, supplements aside, a large amount of them can be found in human versions as well. So a lot of them are widely available at most pharmacies anyway. It's just having your veterinarian, you know, send the script over or give you a script to bring in. And, you know, you can go on to your GoodRx and, for example, okay, you know, let's say my pet's diabetic and I'm on Vetsilin information. I can just go right to my GoodRx app and say, you know, well, this is where I usually go. You know, do they have it? No, they don't have it. But in my zip code near me, this place and this place does. And you can compare the prices. It could be cheaper than what you're paying for your vet. And I never, you know, advocate for not using your vet. But if it's a situation to where you're able to keep your pet healthy because they're getting the medications they need, because they're available to you from a reputable pharmacy at a cheaper price, I will always recommend doing that, because so many clients will kind of be sporadic about certain medications because of the cost. Oh, well, maybe I can get away with doing it once a day instead of twice a day because, gosh, it's really expensive, you know, or maybe I can do every other and it might be okay. Those things, you know, we want the best for our pet. And unfortunately, medications can get kind of pricey. So if you use programs like GoodRx and do your due diligence when you first get the script, check and see the pricing out there. And the thing I like about GoodRx is it's all right in one place. Like, you can literally pull up all the ones in your zip code and see, like, okay, at Publix it's this, at Walgreens it's this, CVS is this. You know, here's some on a local pharmacy, it's at that. Pick the best price and you know your pet's covered. You know they're staying healthy because they're on what they're prescribed and what they're supposed to be on. And you can still afford to get the medication because you're not paying, you know, those large prices that you would just automatically be paying because insurance isn't picking up the tab.
This is like such great. I had no idea that they had it for pets. You know, it's very encouraging actually to hear that, because I know that we've talked about this in the past. Sometimes people will go to places where maybe it's the cost is a lot less, but sometimes it's not what they would get from their vet.
And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, some people come in and they're afraid to say, you know, hey, you know, I've been getting, you know, my stuff over there. Well, the vet already knows because the pharmacy called and somebody had to approve the prescription. Like, you know, clients feel so bad that they're not purchasing it. But honestly, your vet wants you to give the best care you can for your pet. And if that means that you're finding a price better someplace else, that's not going to be a problem. As long as it's a reputable place to where you know you're getting a quality medication that is truly what it is supposed to be and is follows all the pharmacy guidelines for storage and dispensing, that's what the end game is the same. Your vet wants your pet to be as healthy as possible. And if something becomes unaffordable and you're able to find it someplace else cheaper using GoodRx or, you know, using another service, then that is bottom line the best thing for the pet.
Monica, just for those who may not be familiar with it, what is the app and you said they could download it for free, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no fee for GoodRx. I know GoodRx does have what they call a gold plan, and you can do that for like a monthly prescription and you get the drugs even cheaper. Like, if there's a lot of stuff you're using on there, it's something that you could consider. But the general public membership, which is what I use, totally free. No cost whatsoever. You can download it through your app store, whether you have, you know, Android, Apple, it accepts both. And you can also, if you are not techie, you don't like apps, you can go right to their website at goodrx.com. if you want to look specifically at what pet medications they have in there, there's a lot of them listed in there on their pet page. So it's goodrx.com/pets.
Wow. That's great information. And everyone's looking to do the right thing. And a lot of, you know, a lot of us need to do it economically. So this is great advice and a great help for our pet parents and our pets out there. So as always, Monica, you brought us great information and I thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning 3-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, do you have a plan for introducing a new pup into your family? We've got some answers. Stay with us.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent who has adopted and fostered many pets throughout the years, and I value solid advice on the importance of introducing a new pup into the family. It's very important. So with us today to share this valuable information for introducing new pets into the family is Kim Gablin, K-Line Relations Specialist at Bill Jack Foods. Hey, Kim, welcome back.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Very good. This is such an important topic because so many people are adopting or bringing new pets into the family. And sometimes it's like a little iffy. You want to make sure that all of our fur kids are all on the same page, as well as family members. So why is it so important to have a plan in place before introducing a new pup to your furry family and your family members?
Well, you know, as you said, it really is a happy event, but it can sometimes be a little stressful. And, you know, you only get the chance to really do that introduction one time. So it's really important to kind of think about what can you do to make it as successful as possible. You know, obviously, everybody's going to have to take a little time to get used to each other. But it's really important to be able to try to put everybody at minimal stress levels and encourage that kind of bonding and exciting, you know, kind of relationship building that you're looking forward to doing.
Can you share a few tips with us to keep in mind when bringing a new pup home?
Of course. There's a few things to think about when you're getting ready to bring your new friend home. And, you know, that could be a puppy or it could be an adult dog. There's, you know, lots of different ways that pets can come into your family. But the first thing you want to think about is making sure that you have all the things that your new pet will need. You know, the bed, the blanket, the bowls, the leash, the collar. So if you have another pet in the household, and Sue, I'm sure you can relate to this because you have other dogs in the household and you recently added another dog. And so there's a lot of things to think about. You want to have them have their own items, right? Their own place to be, their own blanket, their own bed, so that they can, you know, kind of feel at home and feel like they have a place and not that they're taking another dog's place in the household, right? Or starting something territorially. So that's really important. It's also important to think about when you're meeting everyone for the first time. So if you are just bringing a dog home and this is the first time they've come home, or if you're bringing them home and you already have a pet at home, it's really important to kind of think about metering out when each of the people meets the dog. So while you might all be there, you don't all want to approach the dog all at the same time. So when you brought them back to the house, maybe you want to go see them one at a time, because it can be very overwhelming for the dog to have everybody jumping all over them and everybody squealing with excitement. I mean, it's so fun, but you really do want to try to manage some of that challenging time, right? When it's a little bit too much excitement, can get a little bit also go into like being nervous, for example. So trying to meet all of the people in the family one at a time is really good. If you have another dog in the family, I would really encourage you to find a neutral place to meet. Going to a park where maybe your dog doesn't normally go, so that they're both in a place where they're in a neutral territory and there's no reason for one to be more upset than the other about where they're at. You want them both to be on a leash and take your time, right? And then after they've kind of met in this neutral park or open field, then it would be nice to maybe take a little walk together. So, you know, your new pet is on one leash and your dog is on the other leash, and you're just kind of walking, and they get the chance to kind of get to know each other a little bit when they're kind of going through the process. So it doesn't have to happen right away, and it doesn't have to happen at home where there's already some territory marked out. So I kind of like that idea. I don't know if you've heard this before, but there are, there's the rule of 3-3-3. So it says that it takes about 3 days for your dog to kind of get over their nervousness of being in this new place with these new people doing these new things. And it takes about 3 weeks really to completely, you know, kind of start to settle in and feel comfortable in this new environment with these new people. And then it takes another 3 months to start to really build that trust and have a bond over time. So I guess I want to really emphasize that it doesn't have to happen that first day, and it may not, and, you know, don't want you to be disappointed because you're all excited to have this new member of your family, but sometimes it can take a little bit of time, and that's okay.
Well, and you know, Kim, all of those are great points. And having a multiple dog household, that 3-3-3 information that you gave is so important, because not only are they getting used to the new environment and the new, you know, new family members in the house, you know, the four-legged and the two-legged, they also need to find out, where do I eat? Mm-hmm. Where do I go to the bathroom? When do I go out for a walk? Where do I sleep? So all of that, that is such important information, because people need to have, you know, pet parents need to have like realistic expectations. And just like people, each dog or cat or whatever you're bringing into your home, they all have their own personalities and they don't all adjust at once. So that is really important to put out there, that this is such, be realistic. This is about what it's going to take. And it's true. It's the 3-3-3 is, that's perfect.
Well, and it's important to give them space, you know, mm-hmm. if things aren't going right. I mean, even if things are going right, it's just like when you go into a new environment, sometimes you need to back off a little bit and get, kind of regroup and think about things. And so you want to be able to give them some time to kind of relax and regroup and not feel so stressed that they have to be on and in front of everyone all the time.
Yep.
And starting your daily routine, that was one thing that you just brought up, Sue, that reminded me. It's really important to start your daily routine with them as soon as they come back to the house. So, you know, whether that's, you know, when you're going to maybe go out to the bathroom and to the backyard or maybe take a walk, you're going to want to start, like, when you think you're going to be able to do that, and, you know, when you're going to be feeding them, and having a conversation with the family about it. You know, it could be that if you don't have another dog in the household, maybe you haven't thought about, well, who's going to feed them and who's going to, you mm-hmm. know, take them out. Or maybe, you know, how will you communicate that, oh, maybe, you know, maybe your daughter got up early and she took the dog out, but then she didn't feed them. But then sometimes my husband and I would feed the dog twice. So, and you know, he never complained about that. So
I was going to say, and they never complained.
No. So, I mean, it is really important to kind of think about not just what the dog needs and what, you know, what timing and everything that you're going to be doing everything on, but also talk with the rest of the people in your household, with the rest of your family, and see, you know, who's going to kind of help with this and how's this going to go and how are we going to give them a routine? Because dogs really need that routine. They need to know what's expected mm-hmm. of them, and they feel much more confident and comfortable when they know what's happening and what's going on. And so you want to give them that as soon as you can so that they can start to make that 3-3-3 adjustment and feel like they kind of know what to expect and they're not surprised by it and it doesn't make them nervous. So that's really important.
Absolutely. That is. And what else is important too is proper nutrition. It is really key to making sure that your dog is number one eating and that they like what they eat and that they're enjoying it and that they have scheduled feed times. And if they're lucky, they may, like, same with my husband and I, we may give a little bit extra here and there. They don't know. They never let us know. They just like wink amongst each other going, don't tell them. But what is your preferred dog food and treats that helps to keep the pups both healthy and happy?
We know, certainly, just like, you know, when you start off with your first dog, or if this is your first dog, you want to be thinking about how old is your dog? What size are they going to be when they're fully grown? Those are two really big things that help you to kind of sort out all the different kinds of food that are out there. So if they're a puppy, they need certain kinds of nutrients. They need a little bit more protein and a little bit more fat when they're growing. But then as they get to be adults, they don't need quite as much protein and fat. And then when they get to be seniors, there's another adjustment yet to protein and fat and how much that they need. And then different dogs at different sizes have different metabolic needs, right? Different energy needs. So it always surprises me that small dogs need more energy per pound than big dogs need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so being able to get us, you know, if you have a small breed that's, you know, under 20 pounds, then you're going to want to look for a small breed dog food. If your dog is is 50 pounds, going to be 50 pounds or older when they're full grown, then you're going to want to look for a large breed dog food. And then, you know, it could be that as you start to feed them, you may find some additional challenges, you know, not just puppy food or adult food, but there could be something like maybe they're picky. I know we do get a lot of people that come to BillJack and know a little bit about our picky formulas. And we've had a BillJack picky formula for small breeds and then another one for medium and large breeds. And we just recently launched a puppy formula because we were getting a lot of comments from people and requests for a puppy formula for their puppies as well. So you know, if you have a picky puppy, then there could be a picky no more formula that would be good for your dog. Or, you know, it could be that you're thinking about wet food, that you'd like to add a little bit of wet food for a little bit more moisture in their diet, a little bit more pizzazz or a little bit more of a change. And so there's, you know, a lot of options for wet food. There's like small chunks of, you know, wet food. There's larger chunks. There's pate. And I know we also have been getting a lot of requests for wet food for Picky No More. So we are just launching a Picky No More wet food that's going to be available at PetSmart. And it's got two different varieties. There's a chicken variety and a chicken liver and chicken variety and a chicken and beef variety. And so those are a great way to be able to add a little bit extra to your dog's meal and, you know, make things a little bit more fun if you want to be able to feed a wet food with their diet as well. So a lot of different options, but I think if you think about what is your dog's age and what is their size, that's really the place to start. And then you can go from there in terms of all the different formulas that you can see.
Well, and I have to tell you, and you and I have talked about this before, about the Picky No More. Francesca was going through, as she was going, she's almost 18. She was going entering into the senior years. We'll call it senior years. She was in her senior years, but don't tell her that. She still thinks she's a puppy. And we had a hard time feeding her. And you and I had talked, and this was quite a while ago, and we talked about the Picky No More. Oh my God, she loved it. She loved it. It got her right over that hump. The vet was happy. We were happy. So I can attest for that it works. So, and yeah, she'll be happy to know that it comes in soft food now.
She'll be asking you for some other things soon, sounds like.
Well, yes, she's very crafty.
Well, yeah, you know, and some dogs might be picky, some dogs might be sensitive. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're seeing that your dog is scratching a lot or itching, it could be that maybe their stomach doesn't take too well to maybe the foods that you've been feeding, then, you know, there's lots of options. Like, for example, our sensitive solution formulas, we have one for sensitive skin and stomach. And so that could be a really good option for them as well. And, you know, one of the things that I don't think that we talk about probably enough in pet food is that there, you know, there are puppy foods and there are adult foods, but if you have a situation at your house where you brought home a puppy and you have an adult dog, you know, then what do you do? How do you feed them? And so mm-hmm. it's really interesting because there are some foods that we have, for example, our adult formula, even though it says adult on it, it's actually good for adult dogs and for puppies. So you can, you know, pick one food and feed our adult food and still be able to do right by your puppy and your adult dog, that all the nutrition's in there that each of them needs. Obviously, the feeding instructions are a little bit different for the puppy than they would be for the adult, but certainly you could do that. Or we also, in our sensitive formulas, both of our sensitive formulas are also good for all life stages. So you don't have to have two different foods necessarily if you don't want to. You could find a food that they both like and be able to feed one food, and that makes it a little bit easier for everybody in the house as well.
That is so. That does make it easier. And in my household, that you may find one going to another one's bowl just to finish off crumbs and everything, or just if there happens to be any, which usually there aren't, but they do go from bowl to bowl, just sort of sniffing, looking for something. And that's great, because it takes like the extra thought process out of it and the pressure. Oh my gosh, I got to make sure that, you know, Coco is not eating Franny's food or Franny's not eating Fawn's food. It like takes that out of it, and it gives you much more of a perspective of, okay, they're both going to be taken care of, I don't have to worry, or they're all going to be taken care of, I don't have to worry about this one's taking this one's eating that, this one's, it's mm-hmm. all about the how much you're giving them, the amount.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier so mm-hmm. that you don't have to worry about it. And then it's just one food that you have to make sure that you get at the store, which also makes it easier, because it seems like, you know, you run out of food and you're like,
exactly.
wait a second, I have this food but not that food. So
exactly.
so it does make the logistics a little easier.
And as we're talking about the food, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, to learn more about BillJack?
The website is a great place to start. It's BillJack.com, BIL-JAC.com. And there's a lot of information out there, obviously about nutrition and about food, but there's also a whole pet parent section where we have information that, like we're talking about today, about how to, you know, best bring your puppy home or your dog home and introduce them to the household. There's information about fire safety, disaster safety, you know, hot weather and managing the hot weather. So there's a lot of information out there to just be able to help you take care of your dog, or to learn a little bit more about your dog, so that you can have a better relationship with them than you even have now. So we really work very hard on that to be able to do it. We have a lot of fun putting together a newsletter that we put out every month called the Best Friends Club. And you can sign up there for the Best Friends Club. And if you have a puppy, like maybe you're bringing a puppy home, we also have a puppy club where we'll send you an email every month that'll talk a little bit about, depending on your puppy's age, what things might be happening with your puppy at that time. And we'll send you some coupons and give you the opportunity to be able to request some coupons to save some money too. So it's a win-win to be able to help you with your dog and to save a little bit too.
Absolutely. And I love the Best Friends Club. So Kim, as always, thank you so much for sharing such valuable advice on safely introducing new fur kids into our families, and also for sharing such great nutritional advice. And it's great that there's some new things on the horizon that are coming for BillJack with their food too. And as always, we thank you, and we look forward to having you back again soon.
Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.